Hey, yo, bad news. Fuck going on?
See, Nick, I would have been good on the dirty when this all started, because I could just talk shit just like as good as you.
Yeah, but I don't talk shit, though. I just talk
facts.
Normal vocabulary.
Oh, oh man. I like that.
Yeah. Well, we're back.
We're back.
And I finally have a friend that actually, and we've been talking for a while to do this, and it's really cool. And Nick's a dear friend of mine, and it saved my life and never talked really about me. And just really made me feel really good.
Circle of trust.
Yeah.
Very, very hard circle to get in.
Yes. And as long as of a line I have as haters, I have a small line of friends that protect me. And Nick has always been one of them.
Very small, genuine friends.
Yes.
Everyone supported you. You know how stressed out you were all the time?
Yeah, always. And people still say, now I'm still stressed out. Matt works with me and I'm always stressed out. I always want to do the best for everyone and not for myself.
Why?
So I'm always, I don't know. I feel like I own, I feel like I owe people something. I don't know. I'll tell you what, Nick is one friend that actually reaches out to ask how I am and never asks me for shit.
Yep.
Nice.
Sometimes he'll be like, I know we haven't talked in 6 months, but I'm just texting to make sure you're okay.
Yep. I'm the only one that probably does that too. And
yeah, I promise you're one of this. How about that? Yeah. I don't think people care. I wrote the other day, I actually tweeted because I don't think anyone cares about my Twitter. And I wrote, I wish people would get behind me as much as I get behind them.
Mm.
You know,
that's a pipe dream.
That's a pipe dream. You're right.
So here's the thing. Once you get to a certain age or a certain level, you start realizing who people really are.
Yeah.
And you see the ones that take advantage of you. And then the only thing you can do is give them credit because they are where they are, because they're the best at taking advantage of other people. So they find the best ability or the weakness in the person, and they just ride that weakness and make money off the weakness. And Vegas is probably key number one place in the world that does that. And I had the ability a decade ago to read people, and you know, I was getting, I would say, in the dirty's prime, we were doing about 10 million. People a day to the site.
Hold on. This is too good. I just want to do an intro real quick. I always do. No, I know. We'll get there. This guy's story is so good. People don't even understand.
Oh, man.
Hold on.
It's crazy.
I was sucked in already.
Two things. Matt Curse right here, Nick, just so you see a face and you guys become BFFs. We have a special guest, my friend, Nick Ritchie. He's a billionaire, millionaire. Everyone knows him in the spotlight. Nick is a dear friend. Nick owns a plethora of companies. Back in the day, when I first started in the nightlife industry, there was an amazing blog called The Dirty. It was before Barstool. It was right around the time Perez Hilton was making people famous. And it was one of my favorite sites to ever go on. I never knew Nick, not until a few years in. Nick and I met in passing a couple times, but Nick had an amazing website called The Dirty. And I just remember people always like sending me like, did you see this? And it was the most amazing website. It was honestly, it's almost as cool as Reddit, because like it just had cool shit that was in the moment and in the now of like what was going on in the college scenes or the nightlife scenes. And Nick was just had the fucking, he had his fingers on the tip of nightlife and college life. And it was really cool. And so I wanted to give like a little background. And besides that, he's an amazing fucking human. For those that really know Nick Ritchie as a person, not the Nick Ritchie everyone knows from like The Dirty or what he does now. He's a family man. He's a great, great human. And I truly love this guy. And not many people say that because they don't know the real Nick Ritchie, but I do. And he was at my wedding. Like that's how close Nick and I are. And without further ado, I'm very excited for people to hear a couple of stories in an hour.
Thank you for the grandiose introduction. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on Bad News. I've been begging to be on the show since inception. Unfortunately, I was not cool enough. But now that my
face now the ratings are down, for us. We need big numbers.
Thank you. No, you know, it's, I think what people don't understand about the dirty, and I don't like talking about it too much these days, just because, you know, I sold it, I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, and in its prime, it was never really what it kind of turned into. It was more of me poking fun in that MySpace era when social media was just starting. Like, the dirty was before Instagram. And if you look at all the things that have kind of spawned off, like you say Reddit and you say Facebook, and you look at all the different things, it actually, what I did was the first person to hold the mirror to society when everyone had privacy. And then when they realized they couldn't have privacy, they kind of just gave up and said, okay, let's go. Let me put all my family pictures up. Let me say who I am. Let me show off my fake lifestyle, you know, which gave me more content. And then what I would do is come up with my phrases in my mind, and whatever I was thinking, I would type my one-liners to a submission. And the submissions were from all over the world, Australia, Canada, like crazy. I can't even walk the streets in Canada. I'm like an asshole off over there.
Wow.
So, but it was just these major markets would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happened was, is girls in these smaller markets figure out how to control and submit themselves to become the Paris Hilton in their market. So it got to a point where the site got so big that even if I talked negatively about a person, they'd instantly become famous in their little market or in their town.
Right.
And why I created them into dirty celebrities. So I'd give them a nickname, you know, and that would stick with them. And then they would constantly go out to the clubs or whatever it was and just rode the wave. And it just created more content, and they would just submit more pictures of themselves. Wow. But yeah, in its prime, we were doing 10 million visitors a day. I would do 1,000 submissions to 2,000 submissions a day. It was like, it's the closest thing, and it's so hard to explain, but it's the closest thing to playing God. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
With a hit of an enter button, I could either end your life or make your life. And if I didn't like you, you were done. And there wasn't, right. And there was no survival method. There was no calling Tall for help, which you probably got tons of those calls. You know, this is your friend. What can you do? What can you do? But what people don't know about me is if I genuinely like you as a person, then you're good. Like, I believe in your character and your soul. And there was a bigger spirit to what I was trying to do. But the reality was, is the numbers, I couldn't manage the numbers. I just couldn't. It was getting overwhelming to the point where I couldn't control the negativity. Because there's a part of it where it got so negative that it consumed my life. Imagine being on the bathroom wall where you're seeing the insides of everyone's garbage.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was seeing.
That's what you were seeing.
I would have to decipher who was telling the truth, who was lying, who was basically trying to make themselves more famous. So it became so annoying to the point that I would go in depression for other people.
Right. Mm. Something like that, Nick, like, do you have like 100 lawyers working for you at a time like this? Because like so many people probably are trying to sue you, I would think, right? Like, cause you're ruining, not only like you're not trying some stuff, you're probably just putting up, and it's just like that ruins someone's life.
Yeah. And to piggyback, what year are we talking about? Like right around this time frame.
So let's say like 2009.
Okay.
As far as lawsuits that went for all the distance, there was 50 lawsuits that went the distance. I shut it down at 50. I wanted to go 50-0. That was kind of like my goal, to go 50-0. And then I was,
wow.
But yeah, I did 2 jury trials. I did one that went all the way to the superior court level, which basically claimed that I was the godfather of CDA. It's called the Communications Decency Act, which basically anyone submitting to a third party website, the owner of the website's not liable. So I had that shield, that umbrella. But what people don't know is that without me, Facebook would be done. Google would be done. YouTube would be TripAdvisor.
Holy shit. That's actually a crazy point.
But the crazier point is when I got to the highest level of the court in Kentucky, all these websites, lawyers came to my aid. So when you asked me that question, Tal, at one point I had, on one case, I probably had 50 lawyers. So, and these were, this was Zuckerberg paying yeah. to support me. This was Google paying to support me, because if I lose, CDA was done. And that's, everyone was trying to come after me because I look like the easy target.
You were the small fish, supposedly, but also yeah. massive. But to them, you were like nobody. They're like, let's just get rid of this guy. It'll be easy. Yeah.
He doesn't have the money to, or the resources.
So it was a massive ordeal. Like I was on 2020, Dr. Phil, Anderson Cooper, you know, you name all these shows, and they made me into the devil. But at the same time, like I didn't, you know, it didn't bother me. Like I didn't have empathy in that moment in my life to realize like what they were doing. All I was thinking is like, wow, the numbers are just going to go through the roof. And they did. They went absolutely bananas.
Are you monetizing at this point, Nick? Like, does any money come in, or is it still, you know, like, I don't know. Like I know the dirty, but I, you know, and I know you sold the company, but like, it was there money to be made at this point, you know, on a website? Cause the internet, you actually, and I'm sorry that I'm all over the place, but a few weeks ago you posted something that Gary V posted. I believe that the internet was coming, you know, it was just a fad. It would come to an end. Social media, you know, is going to die. Like it was just like a couple of things.
I think everything has a lifespan. You know, it's just a matter of timing. Do you know when to get out? And my biggest fear was holding on too long. And that kind of like, you know, I always told myself, hey, I want to get out by 40. Because at 40, you know, I'm getting submissions from like college girls. You know, what do I do to change my body? How do I look hot? Like, what, you know, what can, you know, Nick Ritchie's, you know, would you sleep with me? You know what I mean? It eats you. I know it sounds weird, but it really does. It like, you feel bad for the father of that daughter, right? And in all actuality, like you don't really know who anyone is until you see who they are behind a computer, because they just let go because they think there's some sort of wall for,
right,
you know, that protects them. And that's not the case. It's this is way worse. You know, you're basically giving yourself up to the world. So it's, for me, monetizing back then, it was easy because there was nothing like it. There was nothing like the dirty. And there were so many eyeballs. And like you said, Tal, people were sharing this stuff so much.
So much. Yeah.
And the second I hit that enter button, your phone is just blowing up, you know, like it's the craziest thing. I've sat next to people in a coffee shop that I'm like, wow, that person just got submitted, and I've hit it. I've literally hit it. I was in Toronto and I was doing an appearance in Toronto and I saw this chick. I'm like, oh my God, it's the same chick. Let me see what happens. Literally timed it. It was the most insane thing ever. Within, it was like 26 seconds, her phone was blowing up and she was crying, like literally like from 5 feet away.
Oh my God.
So just knowing that you had that much control and power, sometimes I became an asshole about it, and the power consumed me. And I don't think until I started having a family and started stepping back and becoming a real person that I kind of like saw like, oh shit, like this isn't like,
this is not what I want to do.
Yeah. It's not me. It's just not me. Like, if you know me, you're like, there's no way it's the guy.
And that's what I always say. Like, if you know Nick Ritchie, he's not that guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not.
So my transition to now is, you know, when I got rid of it, then I started consulting and I was doing, you know, all the big sites, Us Weekly, In Touch, you know, all these type of celebrity type based sites. And then I was like, COVID happened and I'm in the middle of retirement and I didn't know what to do. I was just in a weird place in my life. I went back to school, did the full Van Wilder thing, like this old guy just crushing it. And then, then I started Celeb, and Celeb's been 7 months. And my goal with Celeb at the very beginning was to say, okay, how do I take social media and do this in a reverse psychology way where I could take Instagram, use the hype, a little bit of what I was doing with a touch of the dirty to get people engaged enough where I could say, okay.
Hey, clickbait him almost.
Yeah. And then get them to a point where, because it always in my mind, like I know the industry and I've done it long enough and I've done enough appearances to understand that hospitality is the last emotional touch base that we have. There is nothing else that we can do besides sit at a dinner to actually have a real genuine conversation or go to a club or do anything in that world. Is that's it. Your five senses are there. You're eating, you're smelling, you're actually having eye contact. Hospitality is the living, breathing dinosaur, right? That we have to like keep this baby alive.
100%.
If you keep it alive, you can save the world. And I know it sounds crazy, but without it, you're talking about digital communication, which is the worst form of communication in the history because you're falling in love with something that's not real. You're basically falling in love with your own delusions is what it is, right? So to me, I was like, okay, I'm going to start Celeb and I'm going to gear this towards bringing celebrity to community. And when I say that is keeping people in the vanity or in the spotlight enough to maintain a higher level of hospitality, because through COVID, what we have learned is that the competition is gone. Now we have to come together and hospitality needs to be one. So we all rise together. And if that is a possibility, then we'll all win. And that's what we have to like really realize. And when I always did the website stuff, it was never about my own personal gain. Like I never wanted to be famous. When I started, I was hiding out. I was Batman. I was in Scottsdale. Like everyone else was Nick Ritchie going out to the clubs, partying, getting free stuff, pretending they were me. And I was in line paying a $20 cover. Like, this is amazing, you know?
Crazy.
So when I was outed by Sheriff Joe and they put me in pink underwear and did the whole media blitz, I thought I was dead. I thought, you know, like, this is my life. I'm done. I was instant celebrity. And then I was like, wow, this is crazy. People are paying me to show up and be a white tiger, like take pictures and get free booze. Like, this is the best life ever. And then alcohol, you know, obviously makes you feel superior. And then I went down that road. But yeah, like going back to what I want to do now and my goal and my vision is using my leverage smarts to bring a cultural vibe to hospitality, to have people understand that we need it more than anything in life because it's what's our key to happiness. And if we can all work together to be friends again, instead of competitors, we can crush. Everyone can crush. Everyone, there's money. There's enough money for everybody. I promise you there's enough money for everybody. So
I wish everyone believed that like you do.
Yeah. It seems like that, especially being living here for the last 12 years. Yeah. It's so like
me,
kill everybody.
Yeah.
I know, but I think COVID was the ultimate reset.
I agree with that.
I do.
At least while COVID was so bad, I felt what you're saying right now, but I feel like already everyone's like, and we're back.
No, because it's opening, right? Everything's starting to go. So now you have the younger kids who grew up in the generation of being yelled at by the higher ups.
100%.
And all the higher ups are gone, right? So all these higher ups are gone. Now the younger kids are here to prove themselves. What they learned was just constant competition and your POS, like, you know. Yeah. So now they have to prove themselves. So they think, which I hope they listen to this show and they understand that they need each other more than they need themselves.
Right.
The second they start becoming, you know, not to knock any of the older guys, I'm not going to name drop, but the second,
but you know who you are.
You know who you are. You know exactly who you are because you're my best friends.
Yeah.
So this, the second you take the vanity and play, I always told my friends, like, you know, it's amazing. You have 2,000, 3,000 people in the club. But the reality is none of these people that are paying know who you are, you know? So why do you think that this is about you? It's not. You're creating an experience for a culture and a vibe to monetize these people so they have the best experience so they come back and they keep coming back. They keep coming back. They don't care about you.
No. Like the thing is, Nick, that you've been around long enough from the start of nightlife as far as like new generation of the last generation to now. So it's like people forgot how to party. You know what I mean? Like they don't, like you and I mean, Matt too, I didn't know Matt, but I knew you, like, but like old school LA days, like we went to just go and party, you know, where now it's like, well, who's going to be there? Yeah. Like, what kind of vibe is it?
Am I getting
it? Is it a DJ? Is it this? Is it this? What secret performance is going to be going on? And blah, blah, blah. And who are your, like, I'm like, exactly. What?
I'm going to look good on my story.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. And another thing is the last time I went to Warwick, and I love JT and Silver, and they're close, close friends of all of ours. And I went out with Tav, and literally everyone is going like this. Yeah. And Abby's like, are we getting old? I was like, it's not that we're getting old. It's just like people going out these days is just people telling their story in the now and posting about it right away.
It's real time content.
I think it also comes like full circle again. I can't wait for the day where people are doing like the hosted parties and things like that. Just because like, I'm people will forget that that ever occurred, and they'll be like, oh, I came up with this idea. Like, what if we get this guy to come and he doesn't actually perform? He just sits in the club, and then people will show up. Like, you'll all come back.
It's cheaper.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I think everything is a cycle, and I think right now everyone's really excited because they just want to go back to old school, but that's fleeting. You know, everyone's making money the first month, and then everything's going to go back to normal. So then it's really finding that gap of like, who's our real core audience. And you want to basically focus on that audience. Cause Tal, I know everyone you're saying that are doing that, they're also getting a lot of comps. They're a lot of,
always
three birds, you know, so that's not your audience. That's not, you know, and that's why I think Warwick failed in that regard. But it's LA is a completely different,
completely different. And it sucks that it doesn't suck. It's good that I always I love to shout out our friends because I know how hard they've all worked. And JT and Selvin put, you know, amazing work into Warwick, and you know, Frankie and Josh do a great job for SBE and their company. But in my head, I'm like, I'm very proud of those guys because they've all stayed so above water where we've seen so much in LA. Like LA became famous for like a 6 month club, you know, every 6 months, it's like, this place is changing out. It's not like the old days where LAX used to be fun, and that was like we'd be there for years. Yeah. You know,
Warwick had a really good run.
Longest run in the longest time. And
Celeb started. Yeah. So I'll take full responsibility for that one. So,
oh my God, I forgot.
Yeah. So let's not go there, but I will take
full credit
for closing that establishment.
Hey, man.
Warwick.
Yeah.
No, but you kick me out of a booth. Things happen. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus.
But yeah, no, dude, like, you know, it's just, it's a different world, but I just think that the last hope of, and one of the things I'm doing is a travel show.
That's what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah. It's called 10M and it's a 10-minute docuseries. It's kind of Anthony Bourdain meets Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with a little bit of Wild on. But it's me just going in these smaller towns that you wouldn't even think of. And I wouldn't say making fun of the people, but just living through them.
Yeah.
And getting a feel for them. And
what kind of places are you going to be traveling to?
Right now, well, I'm scheduled right now. I just did Montana, and I don't want to give away too much.
No, of course.
Z will kill me. Z. Dandy Zarnas. She is the director and she's the producer. This is her brainchild. I'm just
the sex. Just doing it.
Yeah, I'm the Persian Leo.
Yeah.
So
love it.
I'm just the talent. But
and you have the voice, which is great. The voice is what matters. Anthony Bourdain, great voice.
Yeah, got a good voice.
I don't know. As long as I stay alive, that's, you know, that's the thing. But yeah, you know, like, so that's going to be exclusively on our Celeb app, and I'm going to do the travel stuff, and that's where I'm going to put my touch to it. But everything else, like, I have, you know, Melinda's my editor at large. Yep. She has a great team. My team is just phenomenal. My writer, phenomenal. My artists are phenomenal. Like, I pretty much built the dream team.
Yeah.
The people that I want. And now we're just going to take over media.
So what's the goal with Celeb? To take over? Like, I'm going to be dirty on steroids with no bullshit.
I'll tell you what it is, Tal. No one owns me.
Yeah.
First time ever. No one has a piece of me. And that's very dangerous for some, but it's very great for me because I can actually, use my marketing genius. I can use everything that I know and all my knowledge of all my years. And I was talking to Freddie Scooby, you know, yep. It's, we've already done this.
Yeah.
And we've done it to perfection. But when we did it before, we were blind. We saw good things. We saw bad things.
Yeah.
Now we know what the good things are. So we are 10 times more potent. What I've done in 7 months, it took me 5 years to do with the dirty. So I'm so excited for Celeb, and anybody that wants to see it online, it's celebmagazine.com, but download the app because that's where
that's where it's at.
Yeah. So, and you're going to start seeing more elements as we grow that are going to be hybrids of different models. And it just, we're in a very touchy world. So I'm trying to be very,
We're soft. We're soft. Mm. And I want to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah. So, and I'm not soft, which is, it's really hard for me. But I do have checkers that basically say, hey, you can't do that. You can't say that, which is crazy. Cause you know, and that's the other thing too, back in the day it's all, and when we went out and Maddie, when we went out and we partied, there was no fear.
No fear.
So you could let loose and just be your own person.
Yeah.
Now it's impossible, right? And I think I'm partly to blame for that. Like, I'll take a little bit of responsibility for that because people don't want, you know.
They get cyberbullying. I mean, it's not cyberbullying though. Like it's a different word, but it's kind of, that's what it was, you know.
People just don't want to be outed.
Yeah, they don't want to be canceled either.
Oh yeah,
true. Cancel culture.
We're a part of a cancel culture, and Nick, you're the king of it. And people are like, you know, as funny as it is for me, like, oh, I'm coming out of retirement. I'm like, motherfuckers better be careful because Nick ain't scared of shit.
No, I think that I can't be bought this time.
Yeah.
So, and not that I was bought last time, but I broke the Donald Trump Stormy Daniels story, you know, and between you guys and I got $10,000, you know what I mean? To kill it before the election.
So, beep this.
No, don't beep it. I don't care. But what I'm saying is that I didn't have any contract. I didn't have, you know, out of the 130,000, 10,000 went into my pocket.
Yeah.
So, and that was for me to kill the story, which she originally gave. So they use the dirty. A lot of these people use the dirty to get paid. The whole Kogan sex tape, I broke it. You know, I broke probably the biggest stories on the internet. You know, but it wasn't factual, like from the point of like, hey, Wall Street Journal is going to find the tip on the dirty and then they'll go full board and then they'll get all the credit for it. So that's kind of, that pissed me off a lot.
Right.
Them winning a Pulitzer for my story, like it's screwed up. So that's another reason why, like, I'm doing the comeback is because I want to show these people like, hey, like journalism is one thing, but it's a whole nother world when you don't have balls. If you don't have balls, you're not a journalist.
Why? And I don't even know if you're allowed to talk about it because I don't know what ended up with that. But like, you and Dan Bilzerian had a beef. I was actually there a night at Excess where shit escalated. I was with you.
Yeah.
Like I never knew the story. I never asked you. Never texted. Never even read about it. Another reason why I'm good friends with Nick and Nick's good friend. Like, we don't like get involved in each other's businesses. Really, I don't like. Nick's my friend for my friend, but one night I was at Excess and I saw a fucking full thing go down. And I still, till this day, don't really know what happened. You didn't move from the couch. You just sat there and just kept like,
but you know, what's crazy? Out of all the nights we've ever been to Excess, like,
yeah,
out of all the nights, this is the only night that everyone remembers.
Yeah. That's so crazy. You're right.
It blows my mind. Like, and it, like, if I close my eyes and I wanted to remember one night,
that's not it.
I'll remember the Blazarian.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Maddie, it was weird. Like, I have flashbacks of it sometimes because I see Jesse on top of and DJ looking over the corner, like with his eyes wide open, like this is about to be a full brawl.
Full brawl.
Blazarian's got his security guy swinging at me, just swinging, and there were so many people in that section that. It was like a wave
of sardines.
It was crazy.
Starting the whirlpool.
Oh my God. It was nuts. And Nick, all I remember, just so everyone knows, Nick is fucking tiny. He's a tiny human being.
I'm not going to talk. We've settled our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But as tall as I am, Dan's not that much taller. So
no, absolutely not. No.
Let's be honest. But he's big. He'd probably kill me. Whatever. But everyone went at it, and luckily Ryan was there. Lab came and he grabbed me. JJ came and I don't know, put me on top of a couch or I don't know what happened.
You were standing on top of the couch.
The security guy connected, hit my hat off.
Yeah,
and then I look back and it was just.
World War III.
Security came in, and then Jesse, being the good friend he is, kicked out Dan, and then it turned into how could you take his side? He put something on the top thing. Nick Ritchie wins.
Yeah,
Dan
was did, too dude. It was
Ben Baller was there too, and
Baller. I'm talking to Ben right now, actually.
Yeah, Ben's the best. It's the best. I love Ben. He plays both sides. He'll always.
Always know when you get off with Ben Baller, he's calling the person you just talked about.
Yeah.
It's a nice position on the fence.
Yes. Yeah. That's why Ben and Nick win.
It's safe. Like, yeah, totally. Oh, that's my best friend.
I love it. Yeah, no, Dan and I think we're okay. Who knows? But yeah, that lawsuit ended. I think he was coming after me for $5 or $10 million or something like that. So
you outed him on something? Is that what the thing was? Or he just didn't like Nick Ritchie?
No, someone submitted, a girl submitted. And I'm not.
Right. All good. This is just, I just want to
say anything. Yeah. Someone else did. And he thought, since I didn't like him, that I created this in my mind, which was absolutely, not true.
Yeah. Well, that's not what you do, to be honest.
Yeah. I did do is I did poke the bear and, kicked the dick in the face of Liv, and I posted on my Instagram. that was kind of the start of things.
So just so the fans really know the background, and I don't want to pay too much attention to the dirty, but what about the dirty Scottsdale? Can you give us how did a guy from New Jersey get to Scottsdale and have the idea to create this website?
Well, how does any guy get to Scottsdale? I chased a chick.
Okay. I love it.
And I was young. I was in my, late 20s. I thought I was in love. It was my first wife, and she was from Chicago.
I had one of those. Not so fun.
And she was an FHM model, the whole thing. And I'm okay, I'm from Orange. I was in Orange County at the time. Hey, I'll kind of meet you somewhere halfway. And then it wasn't even Scottsdale. It was Arizona, but she worked at a job in Scottsdale, and I got a taste. I was like, oh my God, this is the Dubai of America.
Wow. I'm making a shirt that says that.
What year is this?
It was unbelievable. Plus twos everywhere.
What year is this, Nick?
Probably 2008. I want to say, wait, how long? What year are we in?
Yeah, we're 21. 21.
Yeah, 2008.
Before you get back to Matt's question, Scottsdale's back to that, or did it just never stop?
No. I left, and now it's back to the show. So, crazy. But the girls aren't as hot anymore and I don't want to sound too mean, but ugly people started mating. So it created.
I started getting lucky.
Oh man!
So people in Scottsdale or these, people. A lot of people were uglier. People were going out and they were getting laid and they were making babies.
Oh, sympathy sex.
This new generation of not so good looking. And then what happened was, plastic surgery became the norm, right? So you could always fix things. And the problem was, you fix things, but you still kept procreating. And when you procreate, those babies are not, the fixed parts don't come with the babies. So it's just a constant degeneration of a society in Scottsdale.
You are just diluting the spirit animal.
No, but I'm being honest.
I like it.
You're never not honest. That's the best part.
And then
that's how that evolution kind of came to play, because it wasn't, when I say it was Dubai of America back then, it was, but now it's you go there and you feel like you're in Tijuana,
Right. but people love it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I visited.
Oh, I love it.
I visited ASU in like 06, 07. It was amazing.
And it's open now. Like it's full board.
It's
like,
full blown.
Yeah. We should go.
Let's go. Let's play tennis. They love tennis out there like you do.
Golf and tennis. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm not good at tennis.
What's it like coming out of retirement, Nick? Is it kind of like, cause you kind of stay in your bubble. You don't like do much. You're a family guy. Yeah. What's it like?
I'm excited. Honestly,
you're back. You're back. You're doing something like this right now, you know, where it's like Nick Ritchie doesn't really do this type of shit.
It's different. It's different from the standpoint that I'm older now, which is a benefit to me, because a lot of younger people respect me more. When I was doing it back then, I was younger and the older people thought I was, you know, a douchebag, whatever. Yeah,
some punk.
Trying to just, you know.
How does wifey feel about it?
That's a touchy subject.
Right.
We won't talk about, but yeah, like, you know, listen, at the end of the day, her world and our world are, we're in more like that celebrity bubble. So
yeah,
we get it. Like it's entertainment. Like she looks at it as entertainment. I look at it as like, I'm building a succession for my kids.
Absolutely.
Right? So for me, the mentality is media mogul. That's it. Stay in your lane, laser focus, lock in. You do that. All the other outside stuff is going to be ancillary. It's just going to come. You know, and then you can start smelling it. Literally, it's in the air. Like when I tell you, Tal, this is going to be the biggest thing ever. It's going to be the biggest thing ever.
Yeah,
I can almost taste it and feel it.
Hell yeah. All the big photos from last night from Liv with Kylie and Travis are, you had the exclusives.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's amazing. You know, this is going to come out this weekend. So this is Liv on Sunday, which is, you know, one of Nick's best friends is Dave Grutman, and he owns a club called Liv. And Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott were there over the weekend, and it was his birthday. And Nick's website, Celeb, got the exclusive photos. So
I'm doing partnership deals with all, you know, I think we have, the last time it's like 65% of the paparazzi under us. So with our deal with Shutterstock, which is a massive 360 deal, I have the ability now to do what I used to do and create celebrity. So for me, it's amazing because there's the underworld that you guys know that are of, I don't like using the term influencer,
yeah,
but there's that society, and that society at some point needs to get true recognition because they're still not recognized. It's almost like every four years, like the Olympics, we have a culture that is not respected. It was the DJs. The DJs were the culture that no one respected. Then 4 years later, now the DJs are famous. They're getting the money's worth. Now we're going into, I don't even, I got to come up with a name. Influencer is not the right word because
I think you're right. But I think celebrities are about to be famous again. Does that make sense? Because it kind of went away. And I just think celebrity kind of got boring and it's like cool again.
I agree with you. But understand now we're in the society of metrics.
Fair.
Everyone is a number. They're not really a person. Mm. So for us to look at the old school celebrity and say, hey, like Leo, Clooney, Matt Damon, you're going to have your top 5%. It's kind of like podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Podcasts, you look at the top 5%, they make money. Everybody else, it's just kind of like
a thing.
We'll make it one day. It's like you're literally, you have a demo and you're trying to shop your demo.
Someday, man. Someday.
So true. You know what I mean? Wow. So, yeah.
So it's the same thing. We're all numbers. Like no one's going to respect us. That's why I was so itching to go on your show. Cause I just be myself. Who cares?
Yeah.
Five people see it or if a million people see it, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change our lives. Right.
Yeah. An influencer is almost like a bad word to people. You know what I mean? You say it and people are like, oh, fuck that. Yeah. Oh, like an influencer. I'm like, bro, this influencer has enough power to move a mountain. You know what I mean?
More of like a trendsetter or something.
To be honest, like that Nelk Boys. I don't even know if you know who that is, Nick.
Yeah, I do. Kyle, Steve.
Yeah. Those guys have so much power. I don't think sometimes they understand how much power they have.
I think they're starting to understand it. The Shahidi brothers.
Yeah. Johnny and Sammy are doing a great job with them. Yeah.
and anything John touches is, and Sam's, you know, they're perfect partners.
Yeah.
Like they don't touch anything unless it's going to make stupid money. So the fact that they're going all in with these guys is scary, because you can basically take a metric, like I say, like the ancillary things, and you can put merch, you can put, you know, whatever you want, and you just stamp a logo on it and you say, hey, this is Nelk. It's game over. So, but it's fleeting. Like you're going to have, they're going to have a 4 or 5 year window. And the goal is, can they cross over like Justin Bieber?
And that's why they brought Johnny and Sammy in, right? Because Kyle and Steve and all those kids, like they've become close friends. They become like family to at least the Red Rock family. You know, they only stay with us. It's been great. And they've done a lot for me, and we've done a lot for them. And it's really cool to see like the kind of power they have, you know, and the people that are surrounding themselves are smart, because I know they know what they see. I've seen the numbers these kids do just off merch. No one believes me that they do these type of numbers, because they're like, well, Supreme and da-da-da doesn't do it. I'm like, bro, no, what? You're talking about like something this big compared to what these kids can be.
It's crazy. Their shirts are the worst.
Like, you can even pivot.
We're older.
You could pivot it to like a Jake Paul, or even like those are the Paul brothers, and like what they're doing with boxing, and like making it like the, like till boxing almost is a dying sport. And it seems like the only thing people care about is like who's this Jake guy going to fight next? He's going to fight Mayweather. Is he going to fight whoever? It seems like,
what do you think of all that, Nick?
And only like, really built this off being a trendsetter or an influencer or a guy on YouTube.
I honestly think these guys are all, you get to a level where you become a metric, and your metric is so strong that you can pick a lane and you focus in that lane. And if you just stay in that lane, you're going to make money on all other sides of the product of who you are. If Jake Paul wants to be a boxer, and I'm not saying this because I'm not a big Jake Paul fan, but he is the number one boxer in the world right now. Not as a boxer. He is the number one boxer in the world right now because he is the face of boxing. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Floyd.
You're right. You're Ash, right.
Whatever.
You're right.
Like you talk about boxing, you go on the streak right now. Mm-hmm.
You're so right.
Yeah, you ask people who they're gambling on, and they're putting Jake money Paul. On Jake Paul.
Yeah.
So to say what he's doing is wrong, he's doing, I'm not trying to take credit, but he's doing the dirty model of let them hate you as much as possible and let them monetize it.
I kind of was trying to go there as well of like, do these new kids kind of remind you of yourself, you know, when you were seeing 10 million eyes a day, you know?
No, they're all me. It's just a different world, you know, because now it's acceptable. I wasn't acceptable. If I was acceptable, forget about it. I wouldn't be on the show, you know?
Right. I mean, you would. It would be a three-year wait.
So like things like have you seen the Scandalous? It's like a National Enquirer documentary. I think it's on Prime. I'm not sure if it's on Prime or Hulu, but it basically goes into like how the National Enquirer like built their model on like getting celebrities to either pay or play, right? Like either
catch and kill. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was wondering catch like, not to say like anything with in regards to dirty, but do you think like to gain your reputation now with the media world, is it something that you have to play, or is it something that you have to have a team that like will be really powerful and kill it for you? Or is it something that like, do you have to like,
they're just stuck.
To grow, I just got to grow like a natural, real fan base. Now there's no real way for me to like to use the media to like manipulate the fan base.
It doesn't even work.
Okay.
Using the media is a vanity play to give you credibility. That's all it is. It's not going to make you money. It's not going to do anything other than give you street cred. Now, going back to your catch and kill thing, is that these companies, they got in too deep where they couldn't go backwards, because the people at the top started buying the media companies to protect themselves. Mm. You know, and I don't want to give too much away, but like, if someone is getting posted a lot, or, you know, there's dirt on them, this is what you do. You catch and you kill. And when you say catch and kill, it's like, hey, I'm buying my story back. I'm buying this site. I'm taking it away. So you see all these bigger players, these billionaires or whatever, they're coming in, they're buying these media companies. It's for the power. It's for the protection. You know, that's why what I'm doing with Celeb is completely different, because I know if I can stay true to my core and not be money hungry, like I was when I was younger, like, wow, if someone's, you know, I was a 30K millionaire. Like I was someone waves $100,000 from me. I'm like, wow, that's like so much money. I was a kid. I had no idea, but now it's different. It's like, okay, now I understand the game. So if you can't be bought, you have all the power. And you have to understand that if you have a dollar or if you have $1 million, somewhere in the middle, you need to be somebody and not be the money. And if you realize that, which usually doesn't happen until you actually have money, because then you realize you get the money and you're like, I'm kind of a loser now. When you have no money.
A rich loser.
When you have no money, you're fucking hungry.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is be that guy with money to bang the hottest chicks and get the nicest cars and have the perfect life. And then, but when you get there, you're so depressed and you're so sad and you're like, I did all this and sacrificed my whole life for absolutely nothing. So now how do you get back to hunger? It's so hard. I had to walk away for 4 years to find who the hell I was, who my real friends were, and who I wanted to stay, who I wanted to stay in their lives, because I saw a longer play. So that's the only thing getting me back to the hunger mode, is because now I know who I am. Now I know all the evil, deceptive people in the industry, and pretty much a lot of them are gone. You know, they've killed themselves. I didn't really have to do anything. And I'm not even talking about Vegas. I'm just talking about the world in general, right?
They just died.
They killed themselves. It's just, it's bound to happen. You know, you can only be evil for so long. If you can pace it out, great. But usually I don't have to really do anything. It just automatically happens. You know, true people rise to the top, right? So going back to my thing is like, now I'm hungry. Now I'm traveling. Now I'm doing shows with great people. I'm working with Z. I'm working with Nima, my COO. I'm working with, you know, all my brand partners, and I'm befriending them and letting them be the experts in their field and taking nothing away from them and just seeing, hey, this is a talented person. Let them go. Cut off their wings. Don't hover. Don't be a boss. And that was my biggest thing. It's like people are so brainwashed by a boss. They're so beaten down. It's like Stockholm syndrome. It's so bad that when they come and work for something new, they're always looking for someone to say, great job, oh, wow, like, oh, you know, and they're looking for validation. I'm not that guy. You prove who you are to yourself. If you're happy with yourself and you tried your best and this is who you are, that's it. You made money, I made money, and you can sleep at the end of the day. But that's the only way you get the hunger back is if you're not working for somebody else. And everyone has a boss, which sucks. Everyone has a boss.
Except my boss. Except my bosses.
Except your bosses.
They don't have bosses.
There's some good one-liners on this.
No, but what I'm telling
you, you're right.
How are you going to become that boss? That's what you have to ask yourself. Yeah. And I'm not the guy that's gonna say, hey, you guys all work under me. I'm your boss. Like I hate that. When someone calls me a boss, it kills me to the core, because it makes me feel like they think I'm some sort of master or superior to them. Right. And that's not the case. Everyone is great at something. Find it, write it, zoom in, laser focus.
I love that. I was even going to ask you earlier, like, why did you ever just pivot and go to invest in something else or start like a liquid, you know, juice company or something, you know, but it makes it sense that you're like, you knew what you wanted to do, laser focus. Why try to learn a new business? Like, I knew what I just go back and do this again.
It took me a while, Maddie, to understand that I am really, really good.
You are
at evaluating a person, communicating with that person, and churning their thought into every single question about their entire morality. So the second I learned how to harness that power, it was game over. And now I'm in a really good place where I use my powers wisely, not cowardly, not stupidly, not poke the bear, just use it when I need to use it in the right places that I need to use it for to get me to the next level. So that's the cool thing now that I'm ready for, and I'm ready to show the world, like, wow, like this crossover is no joke. Like, it's not even, and I hate when Tal calls me legend, because I've already been a legend. I hate when people call me God, because I've already been God. I just want to be Nick Ritchie. That's it.
Fuck. Wow. Drop mic, drop mic.
Boom.
Boom.
And then we almost, like, it's almost an hour right there. We
what?
Almost have to add it right there.
Now I just want to add like little things.
Oh,
man. And then we add little things like.
It's been fun.
he just gets helicoptered out
of the room, guys. For all those now, he just got up and walked out. That was great.
But
I love that.
But wait, my it's.
Still had more questions.
You have to say yes, and I love that, man. Is Lorenzo Lamas is your fucking father-in-law?
Yes.
Legend?
His dad is the legend. His dad was Fernando Lamas.
Fernando Lamas.
If anyone's doing their research.
1958.
He is the guy that coined the phrase, your marvelous darling, who's in...
a soap opera.
Yeah, he was in a whole bunch of things.
But yeah.
Dos Equis actually coined their, did their own campaign after him.
Most interesting man in the world.
Yes, that's after Fernando Lamas. Wow. So you can actually Google that and look up the Dos Equis thing and look on Wikipedia, and it's right there. Like, hey, we did the Fernando Lamas campaign, and we made, because that guy actually who plays the Dos Equis guy was his best friend. So when they came and pitched, he's like, I know the perfect person, we'll do this whole thing on Fernando Lamas. But her family's generational Hollywood royalty goes way
so
back.
Cool.
Even on the female side, it's pretty first MGM actress Arlene Dahl, one of the, it goes crazy. My kids are Lamases. Yes. Yeah. If that's what you're asking, the genetics come from that side.
Yeah. And you kind of, it's a Nick Ritchie Lamas.
Nick Lamas Ritchie.
Okay.
I took it because she was very adamant that she didn't want a fake last name. So she was like, I'm keeping Lamas. Should have been a red flag when I saw it, but it is what it is. So that's why all my friends joke around and call me Lamas. And these guys.
Well, you are a legend. You are a god. You are Nick Ritchie.
Man, it had me motivated the whole time. I mean, they even think like so much of what he said pertained to my own life. I was like, shit, I don't even have any media.
Nick's fucking Matt's about to just quit his job finally because he finally had God tell him what to do.
I don't know. Someone, that was the voice. This is a voice in my head. I thought,
Maddie, if I can give you any advice, is get off that couch and definitely find a new partner.
You're the best, Nick. I appreciate the time, man. With you, I could go around for hours.
We do have like the last few questions, I guess, because that's like the only real solid segment of the show that we have is these last end questions. I think people probably tune in just to see what these last few questions are. Yeah. So the first question I have is, like, if someone could have gave you two like magical little tidbits before you even got started in the whole thing, what would they have been?
That's just such a stupid question.
You don't have to answer it.
No, it doesn't make sense because
there was no one to tell you what. I don't think in all respect,
there was no law.
If Nick listened to anybody, he would have failed.
No, but there was no laws. It was the Wild West of the internet.
Right.
Like I would be carted into legal offices all the time, and I'm asking questions. Can I do this? Is this legal? And they're all the answers every time is, I don't know.
Because it was new, right?
Never been done.
Wow. So it's like a baby or, for the first time, just everything they see is like, it's the first time.
I pushed it to the edge.
You did 100%.
And, I embraced the lawsuits because in all actuality, every time I got sued, the site would get bigger because the media would go crazy.
Right.
They would write about it. Nick Ritchie's getting sued for $50 million. And it would all it would do is just help me. because I knew I was going to win. And every time I won, don't get it wrong, like I went after legal fees. I made money on all those deals.
Yeah, of course. So,
and I ruined them from a standpoint of like some idiot ambulance chaser lawyers going to some crying girl saying, hey, we're going to sue this Nick Ritchie guy for $50 million. You're going to be instantly rich and wealthy. And they realize, hell no. And then they're writing me a check for $100 out of principle. You know, right. They money, yeah. I take a picture of it and frame it on my wall. Amazing. You know, but as far as the answer to your question, there's nothing else that I wouldn't change anything. There, anything that anyone would tell me, I would go tell them to go screw themselves because they have no idea. I had no idea. I was just riding the wave. That's it.
Hell yeah. And then favorite curse word.
Curse word. I'm not a big cursor.
I was going to say, he doesn't even really curse. That's amazing. But I would love to know in your head, what are the bad words that go on?
Well, there's words that I don't say anymore that I've kind of coined. Ooh. That I don't, you know, they're just not socially acceptable.
We had someone say butthole, so.
If you're talking about in my head, there's a lot, but there's nothing that I can say.
I love you, Nick.
That's great. You're really not.
People usually curse at you. You don't curse at them.
No. You're right. Yell at me.
Like fucking Nick Ritchie. Fuck.
That's what goes through their heads.
When they see me, they buy me shots, which is weird.
Dude, fucking Nick, bro.
Nick, what do you consider success?
I think judge a man by his funeral. I think you judge a man by his funeral because success is not a real thing. It's just something we've made up in our head that we believe we need to achieve some sort of goal to achieve ultimate morality and take care of our family, take care of this and that. Like I've already been successful
right.
in my mind, but the reality is you judge a man by his funeral. There's 100 people there, whatever, you know, however many people are mourning that person. If that person is truly loved by more than himself and his outside being in his world, then he's truly the word successful in my eyes. So when I see someone pass and I go to their funeral and I see someone that's actually touched a lot of people and in a way that's not money, it's not fame, it's not fortune, whatever, but there's people there that actually generally care about a person. That to me is a measure of success. In the real world now that we live in, the measure of success is your metric. Like this is what you need to always achieve is your number, which sucks because people falsify their numbers to achieve success. And then they also scam people to achieve success at all costs, you know? So, and we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
We mark up everything we sell, every product we make, it's pennies on the dollar. And we're just trying to say, hey, this is the next best
big thing and best. And it's, yeah. Oh my God, this is it.
You know, this is it. But listen, my true friends, like they do have good products. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash anyone. They have good products. But the reality is we're in a subscription based world now and a paywall world now. We're not in a like, hey, let me go to the grocery store and buy something world.
Right.
That's done, you know? So it sucks.
Well, great answer,
man.
Longest one I've ever gotten.
That was actually like the best one though.
Yeah. Nick,
cause you want to be safe.
As you know, I love you. I appreciate you coming on here. It's been a long time coming. I'm really excited to promote the fuck out of this one because I think kids need to really hear your story because I grew up with you. You know, I grew up like watching you grow and it's awesome to have you come back. And it's just
I'm here.
But you're back, which is even cooler because what you just have done in 7 months took you 5 years on your last endeavor where this is about to imagine what 2 years is going to do. You know what I mean? It's going to be very, very exciting. It's exciting times.
My goal in my, you know, which I know is going to happen. My goal in 2 years is to be back on the show. if it's happening or not happening. Mm-hmm. And to tell you guys, hey, I have more traffic than the country of America. That's my goal.
Wow.
So the population of America, I want to hit 400 million. Like that's to me, I feel like if I can have a fan base or an app or a media outlet that's doing 400 million worldwide, then that's truly, truly something I could say, hey, I achieved something that is massive. And I got close. The last one got pretty close. So and if I can do it in that world, imagine what I can do in a mainstream world.
100%. Can't wait.
So where do they follow you at? They follow you. So download the app, Celeb app.
Download the app, just Celeb. Go to the app store, type in Celeb Magazine. You can even type in Nick Ritchie. It'll pop up.
That's N-I-K, people.
Correct.
Boom.
Cool. Nick, thank you.
Thank you so much, Nick.
It was.
You have a great night.
Love you all.
Love you, brother.
Peace.
Hey, yo, bad news. Fuck going on.